Walking in the Light, Part 2. Have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John. First Epistle of John, Chapter 1, Verse 5, 6, and 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We tried to show you last Wednesday night that God's very nature, that he is light, according to verse 5. Jesus' life was a message, and every one of us present a message to someone as they come in contact with us. Jesus' life was a message to show us our need, that in him was and is no darkness at all. John says that the message was not his or the other disciples, but rather they heard it from him. We need to realize that the only gospel that some people will ever hear will be what they see in us. Light and darkness have two meanings in the Bible. We stated last week that first, light represents purity and darkness represents evil. God is called light, but Satan is referred to as the power of darkness. In 1 John 5, 20, we read, or Gospel of John, God calls us and tells us many times, all through the book of John, especially in John chapter 4, John chapter 5, he tells us the greatest verse, I believe, in the Gospel of John is John 1:12. But we went over most of this last week as we try to get up to where we want to pick up this week. We ended up last Wednesday night, and this is where we want to pick up. Light, L-I-G-H-T, has three purposes. First, light reveals. Light illuminates. Light will show you things that you could not see. The brighter the light, we see things more clearly. But what I want you to see that I did not bring out last week, I brought it out many other times. If you go to the store and you buy a 15 watt, 25 watt, 60 watt, 75, 500 watt, if that light bulb is doing what it was created to do, it may only illuminate 15 watt, but it's perfect in what it was created to do. If we're illuminating Christ, if people see Christ in our life, you may not see as much in my life as you will see in somebody else's life, or you may see more in my life than you do in somebody else's, but it'll be a perfect light. Because we're illuminating Jesus Christ in our life. So first of all, we see that light reveals, that light illuminates. Second, light measures. As we tried to show you last week, you go to the lumber yard and you pick up a 2x4 and you hold it up to the light and you can tell whether that 2x4 has got a bent, crooked, knot, whatever. And then thirdly, light energizes. Light energizes. You put out a garden and you keep that garden in the dark, it will not raise your garden. It will not produce your lettuce, your tomatoes, your onions, whatever. It must have light. Now we want to pick up with part two. In verse 6 of our text, if we say that we have no fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If you look at verse 6, we see a relationship and we see fellowship. And there is a difference. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. You can have a relationship and not have fellowship. But you can't have fellowship without having a relationship. You can't fellowship with Jesus Christ unless you've been born again. But you can be born again and not fellowship with him. That's very important for you to see. And I believe the situation in so many people's lives tonight is that they have a relationship with God, but they have no fellowship with God. That's the same problem there is between husbands and wives and mothers and daughters and sons and fathers and all types of family. We have a relationship. We're husband and wife, we're father and son, we're mother and daughter, we're brother and sister. There is a relationship, but no fellowship. That's what the second part works on. Let me show it to you tonight. Why do some Christians seem transformed by their contact with Christ? I mean, there are those who can come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and everything about them change. Then there's others who come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, and other than their attending church, there's no difference between them and the other people. And that makes up the majority of so-called Christian people. I mean, you ask yourself tonight. I asked myself this just a few minutes ago when I was in the office going over these notes. What is the difference between me and my lost neighbor? What is the difference between me and the lost person that I work with? Other than, in most of our lives, other than showing up at church every once in a while, everything else is common. Where I go, he goes. What I do, he does. There's really not much difference. Now, I'm not saying that one of us don't have a relationship, but we certainly don't have a fellowship with God. Now, the Lord says here, if we say that we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, what John is saying, if I'm saying that the Lord and I are buddies, you know, this is a term that I'm not used to. I'm not used to these terms. Christ is my buddy and the Lord Jesus Christ. I know him so well that I call him JC. You don't know him that well. There's not a person in this auditorium tonight that knows the Lord Jesus Christ well enough to call him JC. You don't know him that well. You don't have that kind of relationship. But yet there are those who say that we have fellowship with God who walk in darkness. God said, you lie. You lie. Can't make it any clearer than that because that's what the Bible says. Don't have to add to it. Don't have to go to the NIV or to any other version. I can just read from the King James, and King James makes it clear. If I say I have fellowship with God and yet I walk in darkness, I lie, because if I have a relationship with the Lord, I can't walk in darkness. I can't walk in darkness and say I have fellowship. It won't happen. So let's look at this tonight. It is possible to have a relationship with God, but not have fellowship with Him. Because God says here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "He that hath the Son hath," now notice, "life." L-I-F-E. That's relationship. Light, L-I-G-H-T, is fellowship. So, "He that hath the Son hath life." If you have the Son, you got a relationship with God. "And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." See, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, you are dead even though you live. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 said, "You have he quickened who was dead in trespass and sin." When Christ saved me, I was dead. I was alive physically, but I was dead spiritually. Now God goes on to tell us, and this is so important. This is the difference between dying and going to heaven and dying and going to hell. I mean, what a terrible thing to live and be a member of a church for 40, 50, 60 years and die and go to hell because you never knew the difference between relationship and fellowship. What's the difference between a good marriage and a bad marriage? Fellowship. Fellowship. Bad marriages have relationship. They have a relationship, but they have no fellowship. They have no sharing. They have no inner sharing the things that are important to them. When you were saved, God began an eternal relationship with you. He redeemed you, regenerated you, justified you, and placed His Spirit within you. Now, if you have something in you that you've never had before, it's going to change your relationship. Turn with me to John chapter 10. This is too important not to listen. Too important. John chapter 10, verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, when the Heavenly Father gave me to His Son, we began a relationship. A relationship that was so close, so intimate, God the Father said, "Nobody, nobody can break that relationship apart." But we can break the fellowship ourselves. We can blow the fellowship ourselves. Simply by grieving the Holy Spirit. Simply by making wrong choices. Simply by doing what we want to do instead of allowing the Spirit of God to lead us. But that relationship began in my life on a Tuesday morning growing up U.S. 25. That's when He came into my life. And I had a relationship with Him that I'd never had before. And that relationship, based upon fellowship, just grows and grows and grows. That's why that fellowship is so important. That's why the church attendance is of the utmost importance. Not so you can keep your relationship intact, but so your fellowship can grow. Amen? Can you imagine being married to a woman or being married to a man and never spending any time at all? I mean, June the 5th, John and Wesley are going to get married. And after I say I do, one of them's going this way and one of them's going that way. And they will be married, as much married as me and my wife. But what kind of life will they have? There will be no intermingling because there is no fellowship. No wonder that the Christian life is not important to a lot of church members. All they have is a relationship with God. They have no fellowship. You can't have fellowship at home sitting on the couch. You can't do it. Cannot do it. God says, nobody can snuff this out. But there are many who have a relationship with God, but no fellowship with Him because they walk in darkness. They walk in darkness. Now, see, there's only two divine institutions on the face of God's earth. That's the church and marriage. Listen to me, church. It's the marriage and the church. And they are so closely related that my wife and I are married and we have a relationship. That doesn't mean we got fellowship. And if we don't have fellowship, and if you're around us, why would you want what we've got? That's why the lost souls are not being added to the churches today. Exactly the reason. It's not because we don't have fine buildings. It's not because we don't have preaching and singing. We got all kind of programs. You name it, I'd lead you to a church at once. You tell me what you want, and I'd lead you to a church that can supply what you want. But you still won't have fellowship. Because fellowship, you know what fellowship is, Brother Bobby? How can two walk together unless they agree? That's where fellowship comes. So that's why it's important that when you're going to marry somebody that you have something in common. Well, me and Jesus have something in common. We got the same Heavenly Father. We got the same Heavenly Father. And my friend, if you check my DNA tonight, it will match up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I not only have a relationship, but praise God, I have fellowship with Him. See, you can never have fellowship until you have established a relationship, but you can certainly have relationship without fellowship. See, that's why there's so many children are being born out of wedlock tonight. Boys and girls, children, babies having babies have a relationship, but no fellowship. No fellowship. That's the problem. We're hitting it from all the wrong ends. Oh, I can understand why that's going on. You just see the family that come out in the bad part of town, they come. You can take that and send it to the moon because it ain't an ounce of truth in it. I can show you some of the finest children raised in the slums. And I can show you some of the sluttiest people raised in the finest part of any city you've ever seen. We got to begin to show our children and to show our teenagers and show in Bible school and Sunday school that they've got to have a relationship and then move that relationship on into a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, church, my children will never want what is not important to me. Preach it. Somebody better preach it. They won't. They won't. Many believers walk in darkness. We often think salvation is the answer to everything, but if someone has a problem, we ask, are you sure you're saved? You ever done that? You ever thought that? Someone gets in trouble. One of our little girls get pregnant. One of our little boys get in trouble. And the first thing, if we're not careful, I bet they're not saved. It don't have nothing to do with being saved. And I don't expect the church to understand that, but I'm preaching the truth. You get out of fellowship with God and you can do anything that anybody else has ever done. And you will remain out of fellowship until we who are strong quit working on the wrong area. The reason that I'm out of fellowship with God is because I'm walking in darkness. All you're doing when you try to convince that person that they're lost, I mean, you know, I've been in the ministry over 35 years, and when somebody doesn't want to serve God, when somebody wants to do something, the first thing they'll tell me, I just really don't, well, you know, I hate to say it, Brother Tony, but I really don't think I'm saved. And you know what that does? That frees them with the blessing of the church and the blessing of the pastor, and that is wrong, and God will have us to answer for it. Let's see why we're out of fellowship. Why are you out of fellowship? Could it be that you're out of fellowship because you're walking in darkness? What are you doing? What took place from point A to point B? God didn't move, did he? Stick with me now. See, often the problem is not relationship, but fellowship. How many people have I counseled that's getting ready to get a divorce, and one or both of them says, I love him. I love her. But we just can't work this thing out. Brothers and sisters, if a husband and wife loves each other, there's nothing that can't be worked out. If they truly love each other now. But you know, they get tired trying. Get tired trying. But see, it takes two. It takes two. See, they are saved, but choose to walk in darkness. Now listen to me again. I like it quiet. This is important. We often think salvation is the answer to everything. If someone has a problem, we ask, are you sure you are saved? Often the problem is not relationship, but fellowship. They are saved, but they choose to walk in darkness. Now, are we robots? I'm not a robot. So if I choose to walk in darkness, I am deliberately choosing wrong over right. Now, does that affect my relationship? Or does that affect my fellowship? But see, we can get so far out of fellowship. I've often said, now listen to me carefully, my wife and I have a problem. If she will just stay quiet, and I will just stay quiet, the problem will not get out of hand. But it is what she says after the problem, and what I say after the problem, how she responds and how I respond, what is happening? Our fellowship is just going, poof. And after a while, we'll begin to question our relationship. Is that not the way God is? Is that not the way our relationship? I can't be saved. Pastor, I just sometimes question if I'm even saved. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I can't be saved and do the things I'm doing. I can't be saved and think some of the things that I'm thinking. I must just be lost. Then you go back to where you asked, you remember? No, some of you don't remember because you weren't at the young at heart. But you ought to get that outline. How do you get back in fellowship? How do you get back in the fellowship? How does Dora and I get back in fellowship? We got to humble ourselves and say, I'm sorry. Man, that's hard. I'm sorry. I'm sorry what I said. I'm sorry how I said it. I'm so sorry. And then our fellowship is building. See, what are we doing? We're depositing. We're depositing in that emotional bank account. And if we deposit enough in that emotional bank account, when I blow up and she blows up, we can make some withdrawal by saying things we really don't mean. But there's been so many deposits that overrides the withdrawals. Same way it is with God. There's no doubt in my mind, and please don't think I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, I think the number one problem of churches across this nation, they're full of lost people. I believe that with all my heart. When you got churches that got 1,500 people on the roll and 500 attending, you got some lost people. You got 80 people on the church roll and 50 attending, you got lost people on the roll. That's just facts. But what about the ones that are coming that have a relationship with God but have lost the joy? And have you ever noticed that when you get so far out of fellowship with anything and everything, you don't even like to see other people happy? You know, I can remember at work we had this guy. He was mad at himself. He's mad at his dog. He was mad at life. And anybody would come into work with a big old smile on their face, and immediately he'd say, "What's wrong with you?" That's the way a lot of church members are. Somebody get excited, praise God. So thankful that I'm here. Praise you, Father. What's wrong with him? Maybe he's in love with Jesus. Just maybe he's in love with Jesus. But see, our fellowship, we can never make a decision on our relationship until we make sure where our fellowship is at. To walk in darkness means to turn off God's light. To live as if there's no God. Because I would never do that. Anytime there's a church service and you're not sick or providence or hindrance, you're telling God that what you have to do is more important than what God wants you to do. Anytime any of us get up and start our day without praying, we're saying, God, I'm not going to do anything today that I need your help with. Talk to me, church. I don't need you to help me drive. I don't need you to help me. If anybody asks me a question, Lord, today I can handle it. That's what you're saying without saying it. I don't need you today. But I thank God. Yes, I'm afraid to start my day off without him. Amen. Don't want to start my day off without him. See, when we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's what the verse is saying. We do not the truth. We do not practice what we know. Haven't we all done things we know we shouldn't do? Sure we have. What are we doing? We're practicing what we know we shouldn't do. Six ways we stumble in darkness. First, we stop going to church. We avoid the light of the teaching of God's word. It doesn't happen just like that. We stop Sunday school. That's usually the first thing. Then we stop Wednesday night, or then we stop Sunday night. Then we start missing on Sunday mornings. We stop reading our Bible. We stop praying. And we stop getting close to anybody that reminds us of what we're doing wrong. See, when you're wrong, you don't want to be around somebody that loves you enough to say, I missed you. Where were you? Because that makes you feel bad. When I get to the point that I don't want Brother Bobby asking me what's wrong with me, I'm on my way down. And how do we respond? It's none of Brother Bobby's business. But you're wrong. You're wrong. That's like Donald saying, Juan, it's none of your business why I didn't come home last night. You know why it's wrong? 30-some years ago when they got married, they became one. Do you hear me, church? It is my wife's business if I don't come home tonight. It is my business if you don't come to church Sunday morning. You know why? God has put me over you. It's just like it's my business until my daughter turns it at age. Then it becomes my concern. Not my business. It's my concern. She's already done like the other two. When I become 18, do I have to do this? Wait and see. Depends on how hungry you are. Depends on whether you got a bed somewhere. But it's my business. It's my business. Because God has put me over you. Amen. You say, well, I don't want you over me. Then you need to find a pastor that you do want over you. I am not to be your Lord. I'm not to say, Deanne, you can't do this, or Deanne, you can't do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it is my business to preach the word of God. That's what my business is. Never have went to somebody and say, you can't do that. That's not my calling. But my calling is if I'm going to preach against it, whether you do it or not, that's my calling. God has called me to preach. He's placed me. I'm a gift from God to you. Just like I said, love your mother. She's a gift. She is the instrument, the vehicle that God used to bring you in this world. Number two, we fail to read Scripture. When you're out of fellowship, you don't read your Bible. And this is one of the surest ways to shut out the light and destroy fellowship with God. You know why? If I should do all the talking and don't let my wife talk back, our relationship is going to go. Thirdly, we don't participate in worship. Don't participate. We need to participate. You know why so many people don't learn anything in school? They don't participate. They just come and sit. They endure 45 minutes, 2 hours, whatever the class is. We endure worship service because we're out of fellowship. Fourthly, we avoid self-examination. Have you thought this thought tonight? I wish so-and-so was here. They sure needed this. We had one member here that I, just to be honest with you, I wanted to hit him every time I saw him. Every time I'd preach something, he would go, wanted to break that hand. You know what he was doing? I don't need this. Somebody else needs it. That's a sign you're out of fellowship. I'm not talking about your relationship. That's between you and God. But I can determine you're out of fellowship when you won't examine yourself. Fifthly, we compare ourselves with others instead of examining our lives in light of God's word. I'm Josiah. Matter of fact, I may be a little better than you, buddy. And then it makes me feel good. But it's not important how I compare to Al. How does Al and I compare to God? Every time I've ever talked to somebody that's doing something that they shouldn't do, you know what they tell me at least one time in our conversation? I'm not the only one. Well, that makes my situation even worse. I mean, I really do have a problem. If you're the only one, it wouldn't be no problem. Now you tell me I've got multiple problems. Sixthly, we never admit our struggles. Let me tell you, friend, I love every one of you, but if you've been in this life any time at all, you've had some struggles. There's been some times when you felt like throwing in the towel. Forget it all. And lastly, walk in the light. Notice what he said back in our text. In verse 7, here in 1 John chapter 1, notice what God said. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But see, we need to walk in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now notice where the fellowship's at. If I walk in the light, if I walk the way God walks, Al and I in fellowship. If I'm saved and you're saved and we're at odds, one of us is not in tune with God or both of us. Is that not what that verse is saying? Let's read it again together. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God. Don't say that, does it? No, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. See, I'm walking in the light. I have fellowship with Brother Larry, and I know Brother Larry has some problems, but those problems have been covered by the blood. Amen. See, when I don't have fellowship with you, my problem is not you. My problem is with God. I get my relationship with God straightened out, and we can fellowship because I know whatever problem you got, whatever problem I've got, it's been covered in the blood if we have a relationship with Christ. Amen. Now we begin to fellowship. And you know what you do when you fellowship? You begin to commune with each other, and you talk this thing out, and you work out your difference. See? But how do you do that? Go back to my wife and I. I'm sorry. That's what confession is. God, I'm sorry. It's me again, Lord. I blew it again. But see, we get so out of fellowship with God that, well, if the pastor thinks I'm going to walk that aisle, he's got a long wait. Honey, you walk that aisle, it's not for me. you ain't doing me no favor. You're helping yourself. If I ask my wife to forgive me, if I've said something wrong to her, it's not for her, it's for me. I'm getting the fellowship back. I'm the one that benefits. And when I benefit, because we're one, we both benefit. But one of us got to give. I mean, somebody's got to say, I'm sorry. That means we got to humble ourselves. And God said, He resists the prideful, but gives grace to the humble. See, walking in the light builds joy. John says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, we cannot walk in darkness without feeling guilty. If I truly love my wife, I cannot hurt her without feeling guilty. If I truly love God, I cannot harm this church. I cannot harm one of you without feeling guilty. Can't do it. It's an impossibility. See, guilt produces depression. And depression can bring on insomnia, obesity, ulcers, and other problems. You know, ask these nurses. Did my homework on this one. Depression is serious. It can bring a lot of kind of problems. And so much depression is brought on by guilt. Not all of it. You get out of fellowship with God and you can go to every doctor in this country. I doubt if you ever feel better. He's working on the wrong end. And lastly, when we walk in the light, we stop deceiving ourselves. We stop pretending. We honestly bring our sins into the light and admit them to God. Before our song leader and pianist come, copy this out of a book of illustrations I have. Little boy saw the famous cathedral of York with his family. His Sunday school teacher asked him, "What is a saint?" Remembering the stained windows, he said, "A saint is someone God shines light through." That's what it is, Brother Larry. We're saints. And a saint is someone that God shines light through. My advice to you tonight, church, don't worry about whether you be honest with me or honest even with this local body. Make a promise before you leave this building tonight. I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm going to be honest with myself from this day forward. Can you do that?